Today, we're actually going to brew a batch of beer.
Guys, and welcome to the Irish Beer Snob podcast. I'm your host Janice, and after my fit of giggles, I have come to my senses and we are able to record. Beside me, I have a rather tired looking Wayne this week. You all right, hon?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just, you know, not happy with the spots today, but sure, that's the way it goes.
Get over it.
I will, and this beer will help me get over it, I hope.
Yes, so for this episode, we are drinking a limited release by Lagunitas. Wilco Tango Foxtrot.
Ale. Yeah, so I was just thinking about like what beers to do today. So we seem to kind of do quite a lot of hoppy IPAs and pale ales, so because the days are getting shorter and it's moving into that brown ale, dark ale, stouty kind of season, I figured we should maybe try something a little bit different. And when we were in the wine house over in Trim yesterday, I just couldn't walk past this and leave it on the shelf. Not heard anything about it, so we're going into this totally blind. but yeah, it's just, I suppose, with the changing of the seasons, to move to something that's not just a hoppy double IPA or whatever we just seem to be drinking all the time lately.
Well, I'm going to look forward to this anyway, because this style is the one that I prefer anyway. I prefer the ales. I like brown ales. Love my red ales. And I can safely say that I quite enjoy the odd stout now and again.
You like it malty. You like your malty beers.
Yes, I do. Dark and malty.
Yeah, I've kind of grown to appreciate them more over the years. My preference would always be for a big, juicy, hoppy beer, but I've definitely seen myself going for the darker stuff, the maltier stuff, when it's kind of like it is short evenings, short days, that kind of stuff. So yeah, like obviously with bits of news, bits of things to talk about, and obviously to discuss a hopical topic, which kind of encouraged quite a bit of
hatred.
We'll
get into that later.
On Facebook and Twitter, so we can get to that in a little while. Why is that beer not open yet, love?
I don't know. I quite like the look of the bottle.
Yeah, now I've no idea how much this was because we actually bought it with a couple of other things. I would imagine as it's a big bottle, it's probably in the 8 to 9 euro range. So obviously Lagunitas, Californian-based brewery, made headlines earlier this year when Heineken acquired a 50% stake for an undisclosed sum rumoured to be in the billion euro, billion
dollars
range. Was that
this year?
This year, yes.
It seems like, do you know what, it actually seems like forever ago that happened.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it was very unexpected, and take it easy, don't drink it all. Make sure you save me some.
But sure, I haven't even poured half the bottle.
But, yeah, I think it was one of those things where people were thinking, you know, Lagunitas, will they, won't they? Probably one of the most unexpected announcements. But I suppose there's two sides to every story. We'll obviously, we've been getting Lagunitas here for a while now. And maybe, just maybe, the investment by Heineken will mean that Lagunitas products will get more wider exposure, like countries like Holland and Europe, where they wouldn't be distributed into at the moment.
Well,
yeah.
I apologise because I poured that like an absolute Timmy.
Yeah, that's not your best effort, love, I must say.
I have four fingers worth of foamy head to try and make my way through.
That's just not very good, love.
No. I apologise.
That's just me taking a photo of the beer.
Right, so why don't we ream off some of the news then before we actually get into the beer and let that kind of settle down a little?
Yeah, because I don't have a spoon to get through that head. It does look a very thick, well-compact head, and it's a nice, nice hue of mahogany, brown. But if, yeah, news, do you want to go first or will I go first?
Yeah, no, let's go. I'll go first. So congratulations to O'Hara's, who have won an award for their barrel-aged Llanfaelin, which has just been bottled.
Yep, so the 2016 edition will be hitting shelves, I'm sure, soon enough. But congratulations again. So they won the award there the other night at the Irish Whiskey Awards in Dublin.
And congratulations to all the whiskey winners and all the winners.
Five Lamps won as well for some of their barrel age versions of their porters and red ales as well.
So we'll obviously have a link to that in the show notes so you can actually see who all the winners were.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember you all, but congratulations to everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, I have to go for the next one as well. Bonita is in bottles. It's finally in bottles and it's going to be hitting shelves this week. Cannot wait to fill my boots with this beer.
Are you going to be camping outside O'Brien's?
Probably. If I could camp outside O'Brien's, I would. Yeah. Oh, brother, Bonita in bottles has landed. Get in my face hole.
Are you excited much?
Yeah. Can't you tell?
What gave that away? But I believe there was casks floating around Dublin as well, so we might have missed out on those, but like we'll keep our eyes peeled.
Hang on a second. Whoa. Cask?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw on Twitter there was cask Bonita pouring somewhere. I think it was one of the Galway Bay pubs, maybe against the grain. Not 100% sure. I could be corrected on that. But I did see a rogue cask.
You literally just broke my heart. Oh. How the hell am I? I'm never going to be able to try cask.
Well,
I'll just have to get over it.
Yeah, build a bridge. The lads in Galway Bay are doing a charity beard shave, so synonymous with brewing in the craft microbrewery sector. There is a lot of bearded people who work for the Galway Bay Brewery and pubs, and on the 1st of December, they will be shaving it all off in aid of charity for the Galway Hospice. So well done, lads.
How freaky are they all going to look without their beards?
Yeah, I'd say that'll take a bit of getting used to.
Now, like, obviously we know Alan. We've known him.
We knew him minus beard.
Did we though? Did he just have small beard?
No, he was pretty clean shaven when he was in Brewdock, and then he gradually started getting a bit hairier. Sounds like I'm describing an American werewolf.
And then we saw the beard almighty when we were on the Galway Bay bus tour.
He looked like Grizzly Adams at that point. So,
and then Will has a pretty impressive beard as well. A lot of the guys in Galway Bay have really weird looking without a beard.
So it'd be unusual for them, but it's all for a good cause. The local hospice, obviously, is very good.
And while we're talking about the whole charity thing, the lads in the Beer Clock show will be doing their big beery night on the 11th of November. We will be doing an Irish version of that as well, so do keep your eyes peeled on our Facebook page and Twitter, Instagram, all the usual social medias, because we will start pushing that out soon. So if there is anybody out there that would like to contribute to some raffle prizes that we will be doing on the night, get in touch with us.
Yeah, don't be surprised to see an email coming through from me in the next day or two, or next few days, just to kind of see the way it works. But we raised over €1,000 last year for the Irish Cancer Society. Mm-hmm. It'd be great to reach that and exceed that this year if we can. In terms of beers making comebacks, I know Hop Addiction blogged recently about some Irish beers he'd like to see again. And it must be like he's either predicting the future or
he's in the know.
Or he must have an inside source, but he must be very happy with the fact that Rye River at McGargle's are brewing again Toothless Deck, which they had on tap. Which is a brown ale, which they had on tap at the recent Sweetwater takeover down in Simon Lambert's and Sons.
Now, is this the brown ale that they launched at the Alltech Festival last year?
Yes.
Can't wait for that. Is that going to be a limited release, this Toothless Deck? Or is this going to be something that will be constant?
It's only going to be available in the sampler packs.
In Tesco's.
In Tesco, yeah.
But is that only going to be, is it a short one is what I'm asking, or is it going to be...
I assume it's a short run because of the season and it might swap back out to something else.
Right, so I'll have to fill my boots to that then as well.
Yeah, so we'll have to dig that one out. Obviously, Galway Bay announced as well that they're rebrewing Goodbye Blue Monday, the oatmeal IPA that they did with Beguile originally, which was a real favourite of mine. Great mouthfeel. And in other new beers, 8 Degrees are launching a smoked brown ale, so I reckon you're going to be conflicted there.
Ooh.
But they've called it Bandit, so I like that. Smokey and the Bandit, they play on that. And they put up an image of the bottle limit labels.
Like, don't get me wrong, I don't mind. If the beer was, like, not overpoweringly smoky, I might be okay.
Well, we'll have to wait and see.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. I'll still try it anyway.
So this beer's head has finally got down to a level where I'm able to taste without needing a spoon.
Lovely, nice, dark colour. I'm expecting a lot from this, actually.
Well, I'm going to defer to your expertise on these because you drink a lot more dark ales than me.
It smells sweet. Lovely caramel notes coming through.
It smells like there's quite a lot of alcohol in this.
What percentage is it?
7.85.
Almost sessionable these days.
Yeah. 7.85 session. I'm getting... like, it's probably not warm enough.
See, that's why I held mine in my hands for quite a while.
Yeah. Like, I'm getting definitely dark fruit in there. And getting that caramel. Looks lovely. Nice. Now that the head has settled down, it's about a finger thick.
Yeah.
It is very clear. It looks nicely carbonated.
Well, cheers. Let's get into it.
Cheers.
Oh, that was pathetic.
They're not the type of glasses that ting, really, are they? They're not fine crystal. But yes, these glasses are quite special.
I like it. It's sweet. It's malty. You get the caramel coming through. Nice carbonation to it, like you said it looked like.
It's actually got quite a smooth body, smooth feel.
Lovely mouth feel to it. And it's just not an overpoweringly bitter aftertaste to it.
Yeah, it's definitely malt sweetness with the bitterness at the back to make you want to drink another mouthful.
It's not heavy.
Mm. You know, just having a look at the label there. Wilco Tango Foxtrot would be the phonetic alphabet for WTF. So are we to assume that Lagunitas were probably going to call this What the Fuck Ale? Potentially, maybe, knowing them, considering they had Lagunitas Sucks and everything like that. Mm. I know as we're recording right now, there is the Opinions lads have a poll on the go about smaller breweries being taken over by bigger breweries good for the overall industry. My kind of opinion on it is it's a qualified maybe. If a company like Lagunitas is left alone to produce the beer in the same way with no outside interference, then it's fine. But, you know, I still enjoy a Lagunitas IPA. That beer has not changed since the acquisition anyway, in my view. But yeah, like, that's actually...
it's nice, isn't it?
You can definitely tell it's a strong beer, though. There's a small hint of alcohol burn there.
Mm.
A malty, robust, jobless recovery ale. But yeah, very nice.
Yeah, I'm enjoying that now.
So,
before we get into the whole topical, have you tried anything new recently? Any new beers, or have you been at any events that I haven't been able to hobble along to?
New beers. The newest beer I had was the Crafty Brewing Co.'s Pale Wheat Ale. That they did for the Rye River did for Lidl, and I've blog posted about that. The link will be in the show notes.
Yeah, we both enjoyed that last night. But
other new beers, like, to be honest,
never actually did ask you on Thursday night to go for a cheeky pint.
Before Thursday,
you came home,
I did. I stopped in the Brewdock for a pint of Althea.
How was that?
It was good. Not as good as I remembered it, though.
You weren't a fan of that anyway. No, it was me.
No, I did like Althea when it first came out, but it just seemed to be a little bit different. It was a little bit more bitter.
I'm thinking I'm thinking of Icow.
Yeah, Icow is one you like. But yeah, it was okay. It hit the spot. Would I drink it again? Considering full sales there, probably not. But yeah, it was just a cheeky one pinter on the way home while waiting for the bus. Anything else new? No, I don't think so.
No, we just enjoyed a couple of beers that we brought back from Indyman. We had a night on a few of them, didn't we? They were quite good. We had some hits and some misses.
Yeah, that Mike Hess Rye double IPA was insane. And I loved the way the can, actually the whole lid lifts off so you could just drink it straight from the can. We actually still have a couple left over from that. But yeah, like, the Indie Man honeymoon kind of carried on for a little while after, in the sense of we had some beers that we brought home. But yeah, like, I suppose not been out as much lately, really.
No. Well, I haven't been out at all. Anyway, so, Harpico. I'm not going to sing this time, don't worry.
So this week's Harpical was all about the merits of pumpkin beers.
Inspired by me this time. Okay, so this week's Harpical is, are pumpkin beers the work of the devil or are you a fan?
Yeah.
Now, before we get into our thoughts on it, well, we all know my thoughts on it, but before we do, we've had quite a lot of engagement on this one, which is pretty cool. So you put it up on Facebook and quite a few of you commented. Simon Broderick from Simon Says Blog, he's happy enough that they're seasonal. He does like them, he's quite a fan. Ian Bergen from Hop Addiction, he's yet to come across one that isn't just an overpowered mess of dried spices, feels grainy and metallic. It's a horrendous beer style that just needs to go away. Ouch. The poor pumpkin beers. Seriously.
Yeah, I think Twitter was kind of a similar. The majority of people kind of said they weren't overly impressed. I think Irish Finney kind of summed it up well. If they're done well, I don't see an issue. As with any other beer style or flavour addition, to each their own. That's quite a diplomatic way of putting it. But a lot of people were kind of like, they're the work of the devil. Interesting comment from Paul Willies, actually. He's the work of the devil, but he's still going to brew them because he grew too much pumpkin in his allotment. So I suppose that's one way. Would you not just make some pumpkin pies instead of brewing a beer with it? I would kind of be on the side of...
I think there's a lot more people against them than there are for them. So in my camp, the lovers were like Simon, Thomas McCarthy, me.
But I suppose, putting my diplomatic head on, a beer that's done well, it doesn't matter what's in it as long as the beer is done well. I generally find, like, a lot of pumpkin ales I've tried are quite unbalanced. They're either way too sweet because of the pumpkin or they're way too spiced and all you're getting is cinnamon, which is a spice I particularly don't like. On the flavour, and it just doesn't work for me. The only one I've actually enjoyed was last year's Mourne Mountain Pumpkin Porter. I actually thought that was a real nice subtle use of pumpkin in a beer style that worked quite well. Generally, I kind of avoid them, but if people like them, off they go.
It's their choice. I absolutely love them.
I know I brought you home a can of Stingy Jack, is it? Or Stingy?
Let's go with Stingy Jack.
Yeah, Stingy Jack makes more sense.
I enjoyed that one.
By Beavertown.
From Beavertown, yeah, I enjoyed that one. Disappointed, I have to say, this year that Trouble Brewing aren't bottling their one. It's literally only available on draft this year, which is a bit disappointing because it is the one that I look forward to the most when it is pumpkin season. Then obviously you've got Brooklyn Brewery's Post Road. I've seen that available in Rodney's yesterday as well.
Yeah, like Brooklyn do that every year without fail.
Yeah, that's a favourite one of mine. Kinnegar, Long Tongue, I had that one recently. Really, really lovely.
Yeah, that was a bottle from last year, but wasn't that a rye pumpkin ale?
Yeah, that was really good.
I actually thought
good.
That was actually okay. But they normally release that towards Thanksgiving time.
Yeah.
Yeah, pumpkin ales, they are what they are. I think the general trends from what I've seen online in the States is there's a lot less of them being brewed, whether that's availability of pumpkins or just the breweries are kind of going, well, what's the point? A lot of people are turning away from them. I thought it was quite interesting that Trouble didn't bottle it this time around and it was only available on keg. But there is casks of it around as well this time in Porterhouse and Against the Grain and other places. And I suppose it might suit the breweries as well just to do a short run of a few kegs as opposed to doing a run just to bottle it up.
Which is fair enough, I suppose. I am glad to see, though, that Brewery do have one on, and I am hoping that that's going to be in their new bar that's going to be opening up in Avon shortly.
Mm-hmm. Brewhouse in Avon. Yeah, I drove past that today, and it's actually coming along nicely, lick of paint on the front, so you can see they're doing a lot of work on it. Be a few weeks. We might even do a live broadcast in there.
Definitely. That's definitely going to be on the cards.
Just trying to think. Like, pumpkin ales. Like, what kind of things do you not like in a beer? Like, as in being put into a beer?
Me?
Yeah. Like, if you saw an addition, what would you think? Oh, I'm not having that. Like, if you instantly saw, if you, like, you saw the label, it's going to be X plus Y ingredient, and you're like, oh my God, no.
Bacon.
I've never seen, well, I did think, was it Dave when he was at Bo Bristol Brewed Smoky Bacon?
Yeah, no, if I saw bacon.
That was beer, like literally drinking smoked bacon.
Wouldn't go for that at all.
Yeah, you wouldn't be a fan of smoked beer, really smoking rock beers anyway.
If I saw, God, now you're putting me on the spot there.
Because I think some styles actually lend themselves quite well to additions. Like, I think you can probably get really funky with like wheat beers. Like, because obviously I've seen a few like watermelon wheats and blueberry wheats and raspberry wheats and stuff. So like it's one of those things where you kind of think, well, you know, you could have a bit of fun with it. I always say I won't dismiss something just because it's on the ingredients.
Off the top of my head, I think if they had a beer with a tomato in it, I think it'd be rank.
A tomato. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Nope, but there you go.
Didn't an Irish brewery recently say they were making a potato stout?
That was, I think, and forgive me if I'm wrong, I think it's Munster Brewery down in Cork.
Interesting.
It's a potato and herb stout.
Interesting. Yeah. I must look that up.
Yeah.
Because that, I suppose, is there anything more Irish than spuds and butter?
I think it's a great idea. I really do. A potato and a beer. I think it's a great idea.
I'm just trying to think of, from a brewing perspective, how would that work? Would the potato be put into the mash or...
Got mashed potato.
Oh, that was totally unintentional as well. That's just totally oblivious to it all. But yeah, like I would always not exclude a beer based on the ingredient. I'd always taste it to make my mind up. Like, I suppose.
Well, you can't not answer your own question. So, what ingredient would you not like to see in a beer?
Pumpkins. in fairness. I'm an alcoholic, so I try everything. But, like, you know, like when we were drinking Neon Overlord, I thought it was going to absolutely terrify me on the basis of what was in it. That being said, I have had some really bad chili beers, and I've also had some really good ones. Like, I know Sarah Rorty in N17 makes some great chili porters with her own chilies that she grows herself.
Yeah.
And it's that balance between just getting the little tingle from the chili to the actual full-on assault that was like, say, habanero sculpin when we had that in a couple of years ago now.
But when you look back on that, when you did have that beer, you were drinking habanero sculpin, but you were also eating chilies. So, like, where did the burn come from?
Came
was
from
it
the
more
beer.
From the...
Yeah, absolutely,
but ciabatta loaded with chili as well.
It wasn't really. Like,
it was.
The ciabatta had feta cheese, smashed avocado...
And a
little
load
bit,
of chili.
A little bit of sliced chili, that's all.
There's loads of chili on that. Don't make me pull up the photo.
I took a mouthful of habanero sculpin first before I ate, and that was where the heat started coming.
But I'm so surprised. Like, I've seen a ton of people on Twitter saying how spicy the Neon Overlord was. Like, some people thought that it was so spicy they drain poured it. Some people thought it was so spicy like it was undrinkable.
Everyone has a different tolerance to heat, I think.
But then you see, like, if you don't eat chilies generally, why would you go for a chili beer?
Well, I think the thing is that generally people will just pick up a beer to try it. They might not expect it to be like, you know, where were we? Pepper Palace in St. Augustine in Florida a few years ago, and it was like literally they had their chili sauces had a rating from 0 to 10, and then it went into Skull and Crossbones territory.
Yeah.
And it's like, I knew myself, I'm not going near anything that's Skull and Crossbones on it. But I might go up to a 7 or 8 and see.
But the can itself had a skull on.
That's in tune with BrewDog's recent branding on their beers. Like,
I'm just saying,
Convalescent Beverage, like, for example.
If I wasn't into chili as much as I am, when I first started out with chili, I thought it was the hottest thing on the planet, and I was actually burning my insides, my face. I felt like it was going to explode. Okay, so yeah, okay. Never mind. Answered my own question.
There is an addictive thing, though. Like, I was reading an article online there the other day about how humans have this desire and want to try chilies because the capsicum, it kind of fools your brain into thinking that your mouth is on fire. And there is actually people out there that just are like junkies that want to go for it.
Right. Well, did you ever see your woman on YouTube where she puts the chilies and rubs them into her eyes?
Yes.
Scary.
I saw that. Was it Gordon Ramsay was in India and I saw that as well.
Scary.
That was actually pretty terrifying.
But Sarah Finney, she loves chilies. She nearly eats them whole, doesn't she?
Not sure. But anyway, it's one of those things where I think each to their own. Everyone has a slightly different tolerance. Like, I know a lot of people would have maybe not enjoyed Neon Overlord as an example. But the thing is, you know, it's one of those things. Like, I think you want to kind of see some invention from the breweries and trying something new and different ingredients and everything to make things interesting. Because I suppose everyone brewing the same things and make things pretty bloody boring.
That is very, very true.
Now this beer is warming up, I'm actually really enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it too. I'm kind of thinking, will I save my last little bit of that I have and do candied nuts? No, don't think I'll think so.
Oh yes, the batch of candied nuts.
What is wrong with me though? Every beer that I actually try, every beer that I'm tasting, even if it's a new beer, I'm constantly thinking of what I can cook it with.
Well, I won't complain.
You're doing very well lately, aren't you? Being my little guinea pig.
Yep, I don't mind. It's like, just stick a sign on me that says feed me and I'll be happy. But yeah, like, I suppose pumpkin beers, I think, are going to be here forever because it's just one of those things.
There's definitely not as many of them around this year as there was last year.
I think they're still being brewed. I just think a lot of wholesalers just aren't taking them on as much. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I remember still seeing, like, some of the pumpkin beers in January and February last year on the shelves. And I'm like, lads, you know, it's like that thing in The Simpsons where Homer buys a lot of pumpkin stocks. And his stockbroker is telling him, sell your pumpkin stocks, sell your pumpkin stocks. And he holds on to them after Halloween and then they go through the floor. It's like, it is such a seasonal, nearly one-month thing that, like, there's no point brewing an absolutely monstrous batch to sell, to let it sit on. Because you know yourself, if a beer's just sat on a shelf for ages, it's not going to do anyone any favours if someone picks up a random bottle of Post Road in July 2017 when it's 2016's batch. But I think they're around to stay. I think it's one of those quirks. But I don't think they'll see them in the same volumes as previously.
I have to say, I'm dreading the whole Christmas beer. I don't like Christmas spices.
We're just going to get around that by just drinking a lot of Imperial Stout.
We've got a lot of Imperial Stout to get through. I was going to say something there and I can't remember.
Well, I think I'm kind of nearly done. Is there anything else we need to cover after that?
I don't know, but there was something else I was going to say and I just can't remember what it was.
You know we're going to stop recording and you're just going to remember as soon as I press stop.
I know. You were rabbiting on about what there?
I'm always rabbiting on about something. Don't ask me what I was rabbiting on about. I never remember what I was rabbiting on about.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. I remember. In the last episode, we put a challenge out to our listeners and you failed epically, people. You failed.
I just don't think we have any listeners.
Okay, that's what I'm beginning to think as well. So we could literally say jack shit and people probably won't know what we're talking about.
Until we say something that will end up getting us sued and we'll end up getting sued.
Yeah. So this time we actually put a tweet out about what beers we should try and we got a great idea from the Beer Nut of doing a blind tasting. So we haven't forgot about your suggestion, John. We are going to do it. It's just going to be a hell of a lot easier when I'm actually able to walk and I can go to the shop without help and choose a beer for you, Wayne.
Mysterious.
I think we're gonna have to get somebody else involved in this as well so that they can serve it to us and stuff like that as well. So if there's any volunteers out there that want to come along and store the beer for us and serve it to us without either of us knowing what the other beer is, because let's face it, we're going to know by the especially if it's an Irish beer, we're going to know by the bottle or the can what it is.
Yeah. I think the whole thing is that it should be poured in another room and brought into us.
Maybe that's something we could do in Brewhouse Navan.
Maybe, but we'll sort that out. But yeah, the whoever has an idea of what we should drink, obviously, then also you can't publicly say what you should drink if we're doing the blind tasted one. But if we're doing the blind tasted one, we'll pick one for each other.
No, for the blind tasting one,
if there's anything
you
want us to do a kind of podcast tasting of, you know, and we'll kind of see what we can do in terms of getting the beer, and we'll make it happen.
Yeah, or even if you have any ideas for...
And if you want to be particularly cruel and pick a beer you don't like. So, obviously, it's one of those things. If you want to, just get in touch on Twitter, Facebook, and let us know which one you would like to drink.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is really good. This Wilco Tango Foxtrot. I was going to say Foxtrot there. Keep an eye out. It's a Lagunitas, so Grand Cru would be distributing that, and it should be available in all good independent off-licenses around the country. We picked it up in the malt house in Trim.
I'm glad we shared the bottle. I don't think I'd drink the whole thing by myself.
Well, I reckon you would.
Probably would.
Yeah. If it was cold, if it was warmer and you were just sat there sipping away, you probably would. Like, it's an American...
Well, it is a limited edition, so if you do see it, pick it up.
Quite bitter, 64 IBUs, but you don't get that really. I'm just trying to see what bloody bottle size. It's a pint and a bit, isn't it? A US pint.
Probably 750ml bottle.
No, it might be 660. But yeah, it's one of those things. That's really a good beer, enjoying that. But I think that's enough for today.
Yeah, that's it. That's all from us, folks.
Cheers.
Isn't that a cartoon?
Yeah, Warner Brothers. Looney Tunes. Peace.
The Irish Craft Beer subreddit is the best way to keep pace with all the latest news, views, reviews and interviews relating to the Irish craft beer scene. Check out the subreddit at www.reddit.com/r/IrishCraftBeer and join the revolution.